Hello and welcome to Up to Date from WVIA. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you up to date at your own pace with what we're doing here at WVIA News. Whether you're listening on your lunch break at work, on the treadmill at the gym, or on your drive home, we'll be bringing you the most interesting and important stories of the day every weekday here on Up to Date. Today, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, take a trip to Ballina in Ireland, a town with a special connection to Scranton. We've got an update on the Bradford County Library and some recommendations for your next read. It's Monday, March 17th. Let's get into it. First, we have an update to our continuing coverage of the Bradford County Library. Bradford County commissioners voted to dissolve the Bradford County Library Board on Thursday of last week. So what's next for BCL? Commissioner Doug McClinko shared a few ideas with WVIA's Isabella Weiss.
The library is still open, but Malenko says it needs to change. He spoke on Friday about what he says holds the library back.
It's got to be a destination library. Contrary to what everybody thinks, the attendance there is very light. It's out in the middle of the country.
Commissioners voted last year to slash the library's budget by 30%, and now to eliminate its advisory board, but Malenko says that's not enough. He says he wants to bring in a director with vision, someone to reimagine the library. He hopes to bring programs for people with special needs, kids, and the elderly.
It's got to be brought into the 21st century, what we do. And we'll see where it goes, but all the hysteria and stuff just needs to stop.
And he adds he will share new changes down the line.
Future could be pretty exciting over there, but we're not going the route we're going, I can tell you that, because enough is enough already.
And the Friends of the Bradford County Library, a citizens group, have also sued the commissioners over the Sunshine Act last month. In Pittston, I'm Isabella Weiss, WVIA News.
Now let's get into a more celebratory mood. It's St. Patrick's Day, and odds are a lot of you are celebrating. Lackawanna County is actually the most Irish county in the state of Pennsylvania, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Roughly 25% of the population has Irish heritage. The city of Scranton has a special connection with one particular town in Ireland, where many residents can trace their roots. WVIA's Haley O'Brien reports on a cultural exchange between Scranton and its Irish sister city.
Ballina, County Mayo, is a town in the northwest of Ireland, with a population of about 10,000. Many Irish Americans in Scranton have traced their ancestry to this area. In 1990, the late Jimmy Connors, who was mayor of Scranton at the time, visited County Mayo to find relatives. Scranton and Ballina officially became sister cities.
When you go into their town, it tells you, welcome to Ballina, sister city of Scranton, PA.
That's Patty Mitchell. She's part of the Scranton Ballina Sister City Committee. It's a group of locals with roots in Ballina. Lee Schaefer of Avoca went to Mayo searching for his roots in 2012. At one local bar, he was actually mistaken for a local, a distant relative he was looking for.
In Ballina, the phone book, there's so many Scranton names in and around Scranton. So they got here, they found work, and then they spread out through Minooka down to Avoca, you know, and beyond.
When you go to Scranton and you see people who look like us, look like Irish people, you automatically connect with those people.
Mags Downey-Martin is the daughter of P.J. Downey, who was Lord Mayor of Ballina when this all started.
So Mum and Dad would have gone over at the official time, so it would have been St. Patrick's Day, of course. The obvious time. And so a delegation traditionally would always travel over because the invitation would have come in as best they could when budgets were good from Ireland to Scranton or from Ballina to Scranton to keep that friendship going.
Lackawanna County Commissioner Bill Gawen visited in 2023.
I felt like I was in Scranton when I was over in some of the bars over there. It's like if I didn't know it, I'm in North Scranton, I'm in Minooka, I'm in Southside. It was exactly the same sort of feel. In fact, I was like, recognize people over there. I'm like, wait a minute, that looks just like so-and-so.
Gawen said he was treated like a celebrity on his visit and that Scranton treats people from Ballina the same.
And they know their history like we know our history. And I think that's what's so important too. And like, that's what I want to teach. I have five children. I want to teach them the connection, the roots, because this, it's important. It's how the city got its start, really. with all the immigrants that came over and helped kind of build the entire valley.
Many Irish immigrants came to the United States in the mid to late 1800s after the famine and found work in the mines and on the railroads. For those who visit generations later, it feels like home.
I have now personally taken at least 30 people over since 2012 of my friends and family and people that just want to go. And they have had the same experience. They love it there.
A new partnership between arts organizations on both sides of the pond will spotlight the rich artistic traditions of Ballinagh and Scranton and strengthen the bond. Scranton Fringe, a local performing arts organization that has hosted a festival for 10 years, announced a cultural exchange with an arts facility in Ballinagh. A local group will present Ulysses of Scranton at the Ballinagh Arts Center in October 2025, after it debuts at the Scranton Fringe Festival earlier that month. Connor Kelly O'Brien, the co-founder and executive director of Scranton Fringe, is the director and primary writer of Ulysses of Scranton.
It is a loose, loving adaptation of James Joyce's classic novel, Ulysses, through a Northeast Pennsylvania lens. I originally contacted the director of arts and culture for County Mayo itself over a year ago to begin this partnership and this conversation, and that's part of how this sort of evolved, and this project and this opportunity just kind of felt like a perfect marriage. So that's the show we're going to be workshopping and rehearsing this summer to premiere here and then take to Ireland. It's really quirky. It's going to be really fun and loving. We're taking, you know, the core elements of the narrative, layering it on top of layering it with our own stories and Scranton in particular.
Maureen McGuigan will also venture to Ireland to perform her one-woman show, Remember You Must Die, a comedy which debuted at the 2023 Scranton Fringe Festival.
I grew up going to the west coast of Ireland. I've been to Ballinagh many times, so it'll be really nice to go back and reconnect in an artistic way.
To complete the exchange, Scranton will host a musical group from Ballinagh to perform here in March 2026.
I'm really excited to be revisiting this through the lens of, you know, the Irish immigrant experience, specifically as we talk about from here to there, from past to present, and also comparing that to what we're seeing play out at the national level.
Our families had to leave County Mayo because of some British oppression and the potato famine. So for me, who's ever coming to America is coming for a better life, and it's the same story. And I think we need to tell those stories and support one another and help people not forget their heritage, but celebrate it, but then, you know, become part of this great tapestry that is America. I mean, I just love hearing everybody's stories, no matter what your background is.
Scranton Fringe Festival will host an event at the end of this month to raise funds for their journey to the Emerald Isle. Reporting in Scranton, I'm Haley O'Brien, WVIA News.
More up to date after this break.
We report to you. Subscribe to the WVIA News Notes e-newsletter for the latest from the news team. Visit wvia.org/news and click on the subscribe button to receive the newsletter every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Welcome back. Let's keep the Irish spirit going a little bit longer. In this week's bookmarks, we gathered up a few Irish authors to consider for your next read. Anyone who has ever been to Dublin knows how much Ireland treasures its writers. Look no further than the statues dotting the city. Oscar Wilde lounges in St. Stephen's Green, James Joyce stands on Earl Street and waits inside the Temple Bar pub, and George Bernard Shaw has a place in Ireland's National Gallery of Art. With St. Patrick's Day on the horizon, here are even more Irish authors to consider. Cheers and happy reading.
Hi, my name is Brie Bonomo, and I am an active member of the book community, as well as a new member to the Scranton Silent Book Club. And today I am recommending Knock Knock, Open Wide by Neil Sharpson. This is a horror novel that is set in Ireland and has a ton of Irish folklore and mythology, some of the Gaelic language, and just a lot of moments where you are like, oh my God, what is going to happen? This story is so good for people who really like to think a little bit too, because it has interweaving storylines and interconnected people, and it all kind of comes together in the end, and you're like, wow, what did I just read? And then you sit on it and you're like, wow, that was actually really well done. And it is a great time and definitely worthwhile. So if you are looking for a great Irish author, especially a debut author, this is the book for you.
Hi, I'm Brian McGurl from the Scranton Shakespeare Festival. The book I recommend is Three Plays by Sean O'Casey. I recommend it because you get three for one. It's three plays, The Plow and the Stars, Shadow of a Gunman, and Juno and the Paycock. These plays detail the lives of everyday Irish people living in Dublin at three pivotal moments in Irish history, 1916 during the Easter Rebellion, 1920 during the Irish War of Independence, and 1922 during the Irish Civil War. So it's a great book to get a little sense of how the common people dealt with these events in Irish history. O'Casey has an incredible way of rendering the way the Irish speak and their use of the English language. He's a great writer in that way. The plays are all very funny. They have great characters that are memorable, and they all end kind of tragically, which is sad, but the plays themselves are great, and I think you'll enjoy reading them.
Hi, I'm Brittany Shoemaker from The Charming Church Mouse. Ireland is home to some of the best ghost stories of all time. I would recommend beginning with Irish author Sheridan Le Fanu's In a Glass Darkly, which is a perfect example of Victorian-era Gothic horror and mystery. This is a collection of five stories that are presented as case files of occult detective Dr. Martin Hesselius. They're eerie, atmospheric, and beg to ask the question if the supernatural is real or just a result of our own anxieties. Its most well-known story is Carmilla, which is one of the first female vampire stories, which is said to have influenced Dracula by Bram Stoker, who also happens to be an Irish author. From tales of doppelgangers to dark forces, this is a classic read for those who are fans of the horror or mystery genre.
Hi everyone, Sarah Cinto here again with my recommendation for this week. Typically, I think classics like The Picture of Dorian Gray get enough attention, but this book is an all-time favorite. It's one of those classics that you remember enjoying when assigned to read it in school. Wilde's only novel revolves around Dorian Gray, an aristocrat obsessed with beauty. When an artist paints his portrait, he sells his soul so the portrait will age in his place, and he remains forever young. While he stays young and beautiful, the painting withers and records each of his many sins. Gothic, philosophical, and gripping, The Picture of Dorian Gray deserves the status it's achieved in the years since its publication. That's all for bookmarks this week. Look for the next feature on Saturday, March 29th. We'll test our sleuthing prowess with some mystery recommendations. Want to submit a book you loved for the next episode? Email me at sarahcinto@wvia.org with bookmarks in the subject line. All right, from Ireland back to Pennsylvania now. Raystown Lake in Huntingdon County is canceling this year's campground reservations, citing staff shortages amid recent federal job cuts and hiring freezes. Sydney Roach reports for WVIA.
Raystown Lake is the largest lake within Pennsylvania's borders. It provides recreation, flood control, and hydroelectric power to Huntingdon County. But for the rest of the year, there will be no camping there. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says scheduled recreation and stewardship events will also be reduced and could be canceled. Matt Price is the executive director of the Huntingdon County Visitors Bureau.
So the message is, first and foremost, don't panic.
Price says there are alternative accommodations for people to camp near the lake. He says the other recreational areas should stay open. But Price says he is still worried about tourism revenue.
Every visitor to our area is a significant economic impact. So when you compound that by thousands of visitors over the course of a camping season, it's a tremendous economic impact.
Raystown Lake historically brings in $1.2 million in revenue every year, according to the county's Visitors Bureau. Price says anyone who is upset about these campground closures should contact their U.S. representatives and senators to lift federal hiring freezes on seasonal workers. In State College, I'm Sydney Roach.
More of this story is at WVIA.org. Also, several federal offices in Northeast PA have appeared on a list from the Department of Government Efficiency as it looks to shed federal properties. More on that is also at WVIA.org. Well, I certainly hope you're feeling up to date this Monday. Want to know more? You can find these stories all at WVIA.org or on the WVIA mobile app.
Thanks for hanging out with me here on Up to Date. I'm Sarah Cinto, and if you want to keep hearing my voice and the rest of the WVIA news team, remember to subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you get your podcasts, or write at WVIA.org. And if you just can't get enough, sign up for the WVIA News Notes newsletter, delivered in an eco-friendly email every Tuesday and Friday morning with all the local stories you need to know. Have a happy Monday and a happy St. Patrick's Day. I'll catch you tomorrow here on Up to Date.